Torah tells us that man was created b'tzelem elokim. Chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem. There are many people who don't accept that. They think that the human being is the same as the behemoth. Moser adam menat behemoth. So number one, we believe that man was created b'tzelem elokim. Number two, the Mishnah says chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, what does it mean? It's a difficult grammatical statement. The Rambam interprets what it means is that it's a chibi yisera that God notified man that he created him with tzelem elokim. God could have created us with tzelem elokim and he could have not told it to us. So he gave a chibi yisera that he told us that he created us with tzelem elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us v'halachta b'drocho, to go in his ways, to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Little children like to imitate their parents. So the little girl wants to make believe she's a mommy, so she puts on a shepel or a big bonnet, she puts on high-heeled shoes and she screams at the, she gives pets to the younger children. That's what parents do, they scream at the children. So when one of the daughters makes believe that she's the mummy, so she screams at the younger children. Or someone makes believe he's a doctor, so he puts on a stethoscope and so on. He's taking your blood pressure or something. You imitate. What do you mean to imitate God? What do you mean to imitate the ways of God? The Rambam writes, Lihidama Seilov, to imitate the ways of God. So it doesn't mean to imitate God. It means to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was implanted within us. We should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. That's why the next pasuk reads in Parshas Kisovo, V'ro Kalami Ha'aretz, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alechem, when all the nations of the world will see that you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim. Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Shem Hashem means that you are created with the Tzelem Elokim and you have succeeded in preserving it. V'yoru Mimeko. They will learn from us, Yerushamayim. They will learn from us. They could also do the same thing. They were also created by Tzelem Elokim. God didn't command them, Halachta B'drachal, but he could have commanded them. They have a Tzelem Elokim. We have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. The Mishnah says, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Baram Lamakim. Baram Lamakim means that just like the parents transmit their DNA to the children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmits more of a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim to Bnei Yisrael. See, it's not 100% accurate what it says in the preamble to the Constitution. We believe that all men were created equal. It's not exactly so. We believe that all men were created the Tzelem Elokim, and we believe that Chaviv Bnei Yisrael Shenikra Baram Lamakim is not equal. Bnei Yisrael have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. The Kuzari claims, maybe it's based on Midrashim, I don't know, but it's known from the Kuzari, he says that even before Avraham Avinu came on the scene, before this concept of Baram Lamakim was told to mankind, that Bnei Yisrael Baram Lamakim, even before that, he said that Adam had many children, but he had a unique Inyan Elaki that he only transmitted to one of his children. Adam Shei Senesh Kena Mahalalo Yered Chanaich, the way it starts off in Dir Yamim, the 10 Asara Doris Adam Arishan Bad Noyach. So he says, Vayolad Banam Abanus, each one had many children, but the Inyan Aliki was only transmitted to one of the many children. And then from Noach to Avram, over 10 generations, so he says they were not all equal. Only one of them had the Inyan Aliki, and the other Bnei Adam didn't have. They all had Tzelem Aliki, and one of the children had something unique, had a deeper degree of Tzelem Aliki. Then, when it was transmitted to Avram Avinu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu only transmitted it to one of his children. Had more than one child. He only transmitted Inyan Eliki to Yitzchak. Yitzchak transmitted it to Yankiv. From the time of Yankiv on, that's why we say that Yaakov was Mitoso Shlema. From the time of Yankiv Avinu on, the Inyan Eliki was transmitted to all of his children. And they all have this concept, they all have the Madrega of Banim Lamov. Until then, it was only transmitted to one of the many children. The whole principle of Kovar Abriyas, that we have to have respect for other human beings, is based on the fact that everybody was created by Tzelem Elokim. You have the pasuk in today's Seder. It says, after the Mabul, Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishav, ki b'tzelem Elokim asa asa adam. You're not allowed to kill anybody else, because everyone was created by Tzelem Elokim. You have to have derech eretz for the other person. there is a mitzvah. I mean, this is a severe violation of kavod habrius when you murder someone. The principle, the mitzvah of kavod habrius, to treat with dignity and respect every human being, is the pasuk in Parshas Emor. The Torah says, Kohanim are not permitted to be metamei lemeisim, except if it's one of the seven relatives. So it says, if the kohen has a sister who is not married, a single sister, lachos hapsula shelo hoysa liish, lo yitamo. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, and soita dav gimel amaral, machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shmuel says that lo yitamo is a rishus. If the kohen wants to, he's permitted to violate kedushas kuna to attend a funeral. And we paskin like Rabbi Akiva that lo yitamo is a chayva, he's obligated to participate in a funeral. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Churban Abayis, and he lived after the main activity was after the Churban Abayis. But the Gemara recalls this was an ongoing debate with Man Bai Sheni from earlier generations, whether Lo Yitam is a Chayva, Lo Yitam is a Rishus, and it was always, the consensus always was, a lot of things that were Machlekes and throughout the generation, the consensus always was like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that Lo Yitam is a Chayva. So that Chayva, Lo Yitam, is the mitzvah of Kavod Habrius, to show people have they're religious, it was observant Jews. There are Jewish people who have a misconception of Judaism. They think that Judaism places so much emphasis on death and on dying. They place emphasis on death. There's some people who think that the most important mitzvahs is Kaddish and Yizkor and Yahrzeit. That's not the most important mitzvahs. They're pretty insignificant in comparison to the other mitzvahs and tefillin. Shabbos and Kashin and Taras Namshavach are much more important than all of these. The Pasuk says, Lo Yitamo, there's a mitzvah to show kavod habrius, even to show kavod to the dead. Kal v'chomer to show kavod to the living people. The Gemara says in Ksubis in the second parak, whenever there's a conflict between kavod hachaim and kavod hameisim, so kavod hachaim takes precedence over kavod hameisim. It's not that we emphasize respect for the dead. You don't have to respect the dead people more than you would respect them during their lifetime. That's the famous comment the Bartanura has on Mishnah's Bikurim. When the Chevek Adishim walk in with a mace, when there's a funeral, so everybody stands up. So he says, what are they standing up out of respect for the dead person? We never stood up while the person was alive. No, we're standing up out of respect for the Chevek Adishim who were doing a mitzvah. Because the Mishnah says in Bikurim, when the farmers would bring the Bikurim, when the pilgrims would bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, everyone would stand up out of respect for the Osei Mitzvah. Because they're performing a mitzvah now to bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Bartanura says that's why we stand up when the Kvata brings in the baby for the bris. Standing up for the baby? Why does the baby deserve respect? No, you're not standing up out of respect for the baby. Standing up out of respect for the Kvata who's doing a mitzvah to bring the baby to the bris. And we stand up and the Chevek Kadisha bring in the mace. Not out of respect for the mace. We never stood up for the person while he was alive. If he wasn't that important to the person. So we're not standing up out of respect for the dead person. You don't give more respect to the dead than you give to the living. The respect is shown to the Chevek Kaddisha who are performing a mitzvah now. That's what some Achrayim say. When the Gabbai goes around, the Pischei Tshuva quotes this in Yeridei, in Hilchas Tzedakah. When the Gabbai goes around with the Pushkut to collect Tzedakah, so there's a practice that everybody stands up out of respect for the Gabbai because he's going to do a mitzvah. Some of the Rishonim say that's the reason why he stands up on the Chasen Kala, march down the aisle. Not that Chasen Damel Melech. He's not married yet. When they're engaged, they're not called Chasen Vekala. When they're engaged, it's Shiduchen. A Chasen is after he does the Nisuin. Even after Erisin, he's not a Chasen. Chasen is after he does the Nisuin. So on the way after the Chuppah, so it would make sense to stand up, Chasen Damel Melech, okay, he's a Chasen. When he's marching down to the yard, there's not yet a Chasen. So why do you stand up? So some of the Rishonim say, because he's on his way to perform a mitzvah, the Chasen Kala going to get married. It's like the Holche, like the Mevi'e Bikurim. So the Gemara says in the second parak in Ksuvas, the beginning of the second parak, whenever there's a conflict between Kavod HaChaim and Kavod HaMeisim, Kavod HaChaim takes precedence over Kavod HaMeisim. The original marker for Kavod HaBrius is Lo Yitama by Kavod HaMeisim. But because man was created at Tzelem Elokim, so you have to show respect to the body even after the person died. It's like Tashmishi Kedusha. Like Tashmishi Kedusha. You had a pair of tefillin, you had a Sefer Torah, a mezuzah, and then it became possible and you can't even correct it, so you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. Tashmishi Mitzvah and Izrokim. Bizman Mitzvah, I say it's hooked to the Mitzvah, so you have to give it the proper respect. After the Zman Mitzvah is up, after Sukkot is over, and the Sukkot, next year the sukkah will be able to be used again. But right now, the whole course of the year, it's lachas ma mitzvah son. You have an esrik. After sukkah is over, there's no more hook to the mitzvah son. Because it was only a tashmishay mitzvah. But if you have a tashmishay kedusha, you have a sefer Torah, tefillin, a mezuzah, ritzuas, or a tefillin zekal, or something like that, a mental of a sefer Torah, even if it's so worn out that it can't be used at all, so you have to continue to show respect for it even after. So that's by non-Jewish people, where you have to have respect while they're alive. After they die, there's no din of kavod. It's like tashmishay mitzvah. The non-Jewish body is like tashmishay mitzvah. Because man, they're alive, you have to show respect. They're doing mitzvah, so they have to tell them on the kind. Fine. The Jewish body is considered like tashmishay kedusha. So even after the person dies, even after he dies, there's still an inyan of kavod. Lo yitama. But while he's alive, there's more, so more of a chiyuv of kavod. It's interesting, the Torah repeats the prohibition of Ritzicha after the Mabul. Why did it have to be repeated? All the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei'ech, the six of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei'ech were given to Adam HaRishon. So the Gemara understands in that pasuk, Vayitzav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Adam HaRishon, all of the six of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei'ech. The only din he didn't give him yet was the din of Eivim and Achai, because it wasn't permitted, it wasn't permissible to eat meat until after the Mabul. After the Mabul was over, then he said, he gives man the right to eat the behemoth, ki yerek esav nasati lechem esko. Just like I gave Adam HaRishon the right to eat yerek esav, fruits and vegetables, but I didn't give him permission to eat flesh. So now after the Mabul, he gives Noach and his descendants permission to eat the flesh. So six of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei'ech were given already in Bereishis. So why is Ritzicha repeated now? So the Pashtus L'chore is because the Mabul was brought about to the world because the people had Bechira Chavshis. Man was created, B'tzelem Elokim, we all have Bechira Chavshis. The people chose to sin so much, Ki Hishchis Kol Basar V'Zdar Kol Horetz. They were Mekalkal the B'tzelem Elokim. So if you Mekalkal the B'tzelem Elokim, maybe there's no Elisa L'Asir Tzach. The pasuk says, but if the people are mekalkal, they're tzelem alekim. So maybe there's no prohibition of lo sirtzach. So the Rebbe Shlom has to repeat now. Even though the level of the tzelem alekim is on a shpal hamadrega, such a low level, man still has enough tzelem alekim to prohibit ritzicha. Doesn't have the full tzelem alekim like he had in the days of Adam HaRishon when God created man. He created him with the full Tzelem Elokim, but people have the Bechira Chavshis to be Mekalkal that Tzelem Elokim. So God has to repeat again, there's enough Tzelem Elokim to prohibit Ritzicha. It's interesting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't promise Adam HaRishon Amor Achem Echidchem Yiyah Apnei Kol Chayas Ha'oretz. After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises this to Noah, that the behemoth in Perek Tes Pasuk Beis Amor Achem Chitchem Yihyeh Akol Chayasarat Kol Of Hashmayim, etc. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch have to promise this to Adam HaRishon? Why did he only have to promise it to Noach? So some suggest because Adam HaRishon wasn't killing animals, he had no permission to kill animals, he could only eat fruits and vegetables, he was a vegetarian. Noach was permitted to kill animals and to eat them. So once he started trapping animals and killing them, so the animals all spread the word, this guy's out to get us. So they may decide, the animals may decide to take nekama from man. So they may decide to kill people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, I give you permission to eat flesh. And don't worry, you'll be able to survive. Sometimes people are eaten up alive by animals, but usually they're not. Mankind survives. So that's what some suggest. That the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the Haftocha after the Mabul is because he gave a hat to Noach to eat meat, to kill the animals, so the animals may take nekama. But others suggest differently. The Chazal have a lashon. Rashi Chumash quotes in one place. When man preserves its tzelem elokim, so the behemoths are afraid to start up with man. When man sins and he's mekalkal his tzelem, we all have bechira chavshis. When man sins and he's mekalkal his tzelem elokim, so the behemoths have nothing to be afraid of. Why shouldn't they eat up a human being? They don't see, they can't sense that there is any Tzelem Elokim there. The man has so ruined it. So that's why Kodesh Baruch had to give a promise to Noach that even though you were Mekalkal your Tzelem Elokim, still generally speaking, al kol chayas haaretz, there'll be a sufficient degree of tzelem alakim that the animal should not start up with me. There was a minig that was started in the days of the later Rishonim, later Bali Ataisis in Eastern Europe, that they would give names to people, names of animals, like a tzvi, or Aryeh, or Zeev, because when they would be traveling on the highways, they would be devoured by animals. So if they give me a name, my name is Tzvi, so the animals won't attack me. I'm an animal like all the other animals. That's the official reason that they give. Why they gave names of the animals. Before the Mabul, there was no problem. There was no need for this. Man had a Tzelem Alekim, and the behemoths knew not to start up. But if the man is Mekalkal, his Tzelem Alekim, so then you have a Chiddush that there's still an Issa Lo Tzir itself. And then you have the Baruch Shalom has to give a Haftache, Ma'orachem Echidchem Ye'apnei Kol Chayis HaSadim. In Parshas Noach, we read HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Noach twice. A bris is usually a shutfis between people, partners. We join together and we delineate what my responsibilities are, what your responsibilities are. Let's say if you have a business, you're putting in the money and I'm putting in the brains. Or you're putting in 70% of the money, I'm putting in 30% of the money. We'll divide the profits accordingly. Whatever krisis bris we make, a couple gets married. The Tanakh calls that also a bris, eshes brisecho. A couple gets married, so there are responsibilities each one has towards each other. And then they work together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris with mankind. We're usually used to a bris bein Adam l'Chaveru. Husband and wife make a bris, partners make a bris. Rebbeinu Shlomo makes a bris with mankind. So right before the Mabul began, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's making a bris with Noach. What was the bris? He's making a bris with Noach. So Rashi explains, Rashi quotes in the Midrash, bris hayatzorich ala perish alo yeirokfu. He doesn't have a freezer. He's going to put away food for a whole year. The food is going to get rotten. The Mabul took Yud Beis Chodesh. That's how the Tosefta and Saita points out. The maximum mishpat rishon b'gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum punishment that Rav Shalom gives the worst Russia is 12 months of suffering. So the Dor HaMabul had, mishpat Dor HaMabul was Yud Beis Chodesh. The mishpat Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim, the Esamakas took was spread out over the course of a whole year. Yud Beis Chodesh. Each makah took approximately a month, a little more than a month. For 3 weeks, Moshe Rabbeinu was warning them, and then the makah took 1 week. So that was Esa Makas, and there was a little pause in between. So the sum total from the beginning to the end, according to the Tosefta, was Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Mabul was going to take place for a whole year. How can he have food? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to make a bris with him. Ala perish ala yirok v'yopshu v'shalo yagu rishoyim shebedor. He made a bris with him. Then after the Mabul was over, he makes another bris. Oak, how does he make a bris? Hidden he make him as bris yitchem as aracham acharech meis kol nefesh achayav. He's making a bris that he's not going to destroy Akmosi's bris. Lo yikaris kol basar ad memeam babu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised he's not going to destroy the world again. So he had to make a bris with Noach twice, before the Mabul and after the Mabul. The bris is for the purpose of furthering mankind, for the Kiyum Ha'olam. He wants mankind to continue to be preserved. So he makes a bris with Noach that the food will not spoil for the year. And then he makes a bris with Noach afterwards. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Noach didn't want to have any more children after the month. What is going to have more children? There are going to be more people to be destroyed. Like the Gemara says in the last daf in Cheskes Habatim, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, so many Jews didn't want to have any children. The Chachamim were considering making a gzera. No one should have any children. To have more children, more people killed by the Nazis. Why do you have to have more children? They should have so many millions of Jews killed by Nazis. Better not to have any children at all. And then they said, no, it doesn't make any sense. Here also, Noach didn't want to have any children. What is going to happen? What children are going to sin? They're all going to be wiped off. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him he's never going to do such a thing again. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu later makes a bris with Avram and with Yitzchak and Yankiv. It's B.C. Yaakov, it's B.C. Yitzchak, it's B.C. Avram Eskor. There was a separate krisis with each one of the others. A bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a human being is something unusual. Partners, we're partners. That's some Adrega, that the Rabbanu Shlom enables us to be his partner. Rav Salvejig once made a comment on the Shalach. I have it recorded in the Chumash that Bnei Yisrael sang the Shira after Kriyas Yamsa. Why doesn't it record that they sang Shira after Yitzias Mitzrayim? The night after Makas Pcharis, so Paras says, we should all leave. So the next day they left Mitzrayim. So why didn't they say Shira then? Why did they only wait to say Shira after, at least it's only recorded in the Chumash, the Shira that they said after Kriyas Yamsu? So he suggested of the Erech Hadrash that Kriyas Yamsu required the participation of the Jewish people. The Jewish people saw the Mitzrayim were chasing behind them, and before them was the water, and they said, what are we going to do? So the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, tell them to walk into the Yam. So Shevet Yehuda was the first one jumped into the Yam, then the Yam split. So the Baruch Shalom said he wants to have our participation in this mess. The Yetzias Mitzrayim, we hardly participated at all. We did very little. We brought a Korban Pesach and we did Mitzvah Smila, but we didn't really participate in the mess of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the reciting of the Shira after the Kriyas Yamsuf was not so much because of the Hatzalah. They had already had a Hatzalah earlier. Maybe the Shira was recited because of the fact that they were overjoyed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them Shutfin. He said, I want you to participate in this Geula also. So he told them, Dabrel ben Yisrael v'Yisrael. So we sang Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he enabled us, he gave us the Schus to be a Shutuf with him. That's like every bris is like that, a bris between man and God. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a schus to be a shutuf with him. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that maybe Birchas Hamazon, the rice is only when you eat lechem. And even according to those who showed him that Me'ein Sholosh is the rice on all the Shivas Aminim, on olives and on grapes and so on, but Zimun is only on bread. He thought that Zimun was perhaps their Raisa. The Gemara learns it from Sukkim, and some seem to assume that it's a real din der Raisa Zimun. It's not just an Asmachtim in the Rabban. So he thought that bread has some unique status in Halacha, that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch either Bich Sambos and the Raisa is only over bread, or even if one should assume that Me'ein Sholosh is their Raisa over the fruits, the Shenishtapchem and Eretz Yisrael. But Zimun, benching Zimun, there's something unique about Lechem. Why? So he thought because Lechem, there's a lot of human participation in the Lechem. You have to have Chino and Lisha, Vafio, the whole Sidur of the Pas, all 11 steps, in order to produce the bread. The grapes grow on the vine. You pluck them off in the grind and you pluck it off and you eat it. The olives grow, so you pluck off the olives and you eat it. So there's very little human participation. But by the bread, there's so much human participation. So he thought that maybe that's why the Chachamim saw that there's something special about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu after eating bread. Namely, not so much that we're full, but rather that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Schiya to be a Shutuf with him. So that was the bris over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Noach right before he does the Mabul. Then he makes a bris with Noach after he finished the Mabul. That we are really shutfim with, all of mankind is shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the purpose of furthering civilization. And the Bnei Yisrael have a special priest's bris. We're shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for special purposes. We should serve as the Or LaGoyim. Or LaGoyim is a pasuk in Yishai. We're supposed to be a light unto the nations of the world. We're supposed to show them something. What are we supposed to show them? The Chazal say that every nevuah, every idea that the Nevi'im or Ksuvim have is rooted in the Chumash. Everything appears in Chumash. Where is it saying Chumash that we are Or LaGoyim? That's in the pasuk that we mentioned before in Parshas Kisavo. It says, V'halachta b'drachu, then it says, V'ro kalami ha'aretz. and all the nations of the world will see Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Alekim, B'yorim Emecha, that will learn from us, Yirashamayim. So that means that we are supposed to serve as an Ola Goyim. Not an Ola Goyim on Shabbos and Kashvis and Taras HaMishpacha. That's for our purposes. We're an Ola Goyim on Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, and preserving the Tzelem Alekim. Something that that's shaykh to the Ummah Salem as well. They should learn from us. We're supposed to show them honesty, integrity, and so on. Decency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave an Oysa Bris. For the second, the first Bris, he gave a Bris. HaKemosiyas Bris. For the second Bris, he gave an Oysa Bris, the Keshes. The rainbows, the Oysa Bris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never destroy the world again. When you read the Chumash, you get the impression, you read it superficially, you get the impression as if until after the Mabul, there was no such phenomenon as a rainbow. This only came into existence after the Mabul. So the Ramban in his Kamatyar Chumash raises the issue. He says that the people who know physics, taina that this is a natural phenomenon that was there for Sheshes Mebereshes. The development of the rainbow is a natural phenomenon. It wasn't something miraculous. It doesn't make sense to say that it was only after the Mabul. So Ramban says he's masking with the physics. He thinks also it was there from Sheshes Mebereshes. But it was never... The Oysa Bris doesn't have to be something new. Yesh Me'ayin? There are beautiful trees in the world. Baruch Shalom says, that tree, that building, that's going to be the Oysa Bris. You see the way it's shaped? That's the Oysa Bris. It doesn't mean that Baruch Shalom just created the building now. There's a building, sir. There's a tree. There's something there. There's a natural phenomenon. So he says, that's why should the Keshes be the Oysa Bris? What's unique? If it was something created, a new thing in Hashemayim that never existed before the Mabul, so then you understand that's the Oysa Bris. The Rebbe Shlomo made a new thing, Yesh Me'ayin. But if you should assume that this was always a natural phenomenon, so what is unique about the Keshes that it should serve as the Oysa Bris? So the Ramban explains, based on the Zohar, I think. He's quoting a passage from the Zohar. That why do we call it a Keshes? A Keshes is a bow and an arrow. So a bow, when you want to shoot someone, so you have the string is over here, and the arc is towards the guy whom you want to shoot. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to shoot at us, so he would have the keshes, he would have his bow the other direction. He's in heaven, so to speak, metaphorically, and we're down here. So the fact that this natural phenomenon, this is a natural phenomenon of Sheshes Mebereshes, that the bow, the rain bow, goes like this. It means that he put the bow upside down. He's not shooting at us anymore. He once shot at us, the Mabul. He destroyed the whole world. And now he turned, not that the rainbow used to be upside down, now it's the other way. No, the rainbow was always like that. But he said, you see that rainbow? That's what it should, you should realize that's what it represents. That's the Oysa Bris. The Ramban thinks it was always like that. But it's supposed to represent the fact that that he's not holding the keshes, he's not going to shoot at us again. Not going to shoot at all of mankind again. The Tanoim instituted, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, composed all the various brachas. They composed a special bracha for the Keshes, Aroya Keshes. He cites a bracha. Zecher HaBris, V'nemem B'brisa, V'kayim B'mamora. The Gemara has that this is strange. In the end of, in Ksuvah, the end of Perek HaMadir, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shulam Alevi was a big tzaddik, and so when he died, he went to heaven. So when they greeted him, or the angels greeted him, so they asked him, did the rainbow ever appear during his lifetime? So he says, yes. So he says, then you're not the holy tzaddik that we thought you were. How can you be a Rebbe? They said about Rabbi Shulam Alevi, such a holy tzaddik. The rainbow only appears in a generation when you need it. When the people are so mekulkol, that they deserve to be punished. But if you're there to be matzal on the whole generation, so the rainbow should not have appeared. So very sad. So then Gemara says the truth of the matter was that the rainbow taka never appeared during his lifetime, but he didn't want to brag. So he told a lie. That's the simple translation of the Gemara. He didn't want to brag, so he told a lie.
There's a place where rainbows are very common. They're seen a lot. Could one say that that's an area that Hashem wanted to destroy many times?
Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is always a rainbow, you know? I think so.
And I heard that in Hawaii, there's always rainbows.
No, it's a natural phenomenon. I don't know. So that's a problem. How do you read that Gemara? That's a strange Gemara. So in that Gemara, the Taz writes in Hilchas Tainus that let's say it's Bahab. Some people are fasting. Most of the people are not fasting. And some other Tainus Tzadikim that most people are not observing. So someone, see, if they're going around to find out whether you have a minion of Asar Misadim to Lein Vaychal and to say Aneinu, so that's one thing. So they ask, are you fasting? They have to tally up whether you have a minion. So you got to tell them the truth. Yeah, I'm fasting. Or the Gabbai wants to know, can he give you an aliyah? Say, yes, are you fasting? Can I give you an aliyah? Say, you got to tell him, yes, I'm fasting. But what, the guy's just writing an almanac? He has a minion anyway, Asar Misadim. He's not going to give me the aliyah anyway. He just wants to know, am I fasting? That's none of his business. So the Taz said, you should say no. You should say Allah, you should say no. You shouldn't be machzik tov liatzmacha. So he says it based on this Gemara, that the Esra of Shulam Alevi, where the nearest Akesh is Biamecha, so he told a lie. That's a simple interpretation of the Gemara. He told a lie in order not to be machzik tov liatzmo. It's a strange Gemara. The way the Rambam points out, the Keshis is a natural phenomenon. So what does it mean? The whole lifetime of, during his whole lifetime, the Keshis never appeared where he lived, it means, in Hawaii and Niagara Falls, it's there. I mean, where he lived, the Keshis never appeared. I mean, it never rained. Never rained in the when the sun was shining. It's a problematic Gemara. What's the pshat? Rashi in his opening comment on Noach, Tzarek Tamim Hoya B'Deros, it quotes the Machloikis from the Gemara. Yesh Dorshim B'Ginai. Some of the Chachamim understood the pasuk to say that Noach wasn't such a great tzaddik. What motivates them to be Dorish L'Ginai? The pasuk is saying L'Shvach. Why should they be Dorish L'Ginai? What are they? It's very strange. What are they driving at over here? But some explain what it means is the following. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that there are Asara Doris Me'a Odom Arishin Bad Noach Lohodia Kama Erech HaPayim Lefonu Shekola Doris Hoyim Achisim Aboyim. They were worshipping Avodah Zorah, Gilei Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Gezel, Shavuot, Pachas B'Shavuot, everything was going on. That Bechirah Chavshis, Hishchis Kol Basar is Dark Al Hordes. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was patient, and he let them get away with all the shtick for so many generations, until finally he was fed up in the days of Noach, and he destroyed the whole world. So that's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. This is recorded in the Chumash, to teach us, Schar B'Yoinesh, and to teach us, Kam Erech HaPayim Lefonah. So that's what some Chachamim understand, that the Pasuk means to say, and even Noach wasn't such a hot tzaddik. He himself was not so gemalik. That's also part of the Erech HaPayim Lefonah. The Ribbono Shel Olam was so upset and he destroyed the whole world, he could have destroyed everybody including Noach, and he could have started all over again from scratch. The way the Midrashim say that the Ribbono Shel Olam was buried alone as a machrivan. He created a world and he didn't like it, and he destroyed it, he created it again. He should have destroyed this whole world with Noach. He wasn't so gevaldik either, and he could have started all over again from scratch. So this is part of Lohodia, Kam Erech HaPayim Lefonu. Noach was a shtik al tzadik. At least he was a little bit of a tzadik. He wasn't such, in comparison to his generation, he was a tzadik tam. If he would have lived in another generation, it wouldn't have been so great. And nonetheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam was kind to save Noach. Some of the Chachamim understand that the Pasuk means Lignai, what the Pasuk wants to be Megana Noach. No, the Pasuk wants to be Mshabech the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though Noach himself was not so hot. And nonetheless, the Ribbono Shel Olam was kind and he didn't destroy him. Where did Noach get this idea from to get drunk after the Mabul? What kind of wild Mishigas is that? So that's basically a Pasuk in Mishnah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin, quotes a pasuk in Mishnah. The pasuk says, "Tenu sheichel oivei b'yayin lemari nefesh." The pasuk, the Mishnah says that before they did Mises Bezin, once in a yovel they would administer Mises Bezin once every 70 years, whatever. So when they would give official Mises Bezin, so would they give the guy a very strong drink beforehand to dull his senses, so he shouldn't feel the pain when they're killing him. When the Bezin kills him. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk, "Tenu sheichel oivid," give strong wine to the oivid, to the one who's going to lose his life. Yayin lemari nefesh. So the Gemara says, "Lenibra yayin ela lenachem bayas lavelim," that when you drink wine that has alcoholic content to it, so it dulls your senses a little bit. So if a person is aggravated, so that's an inyan. they've had wine has been around for around 6,000 years, since, according to our Cheshbon, since the days of Adam Arishon. The wine manufacturers say that the secret of making wine has been known to men, was developed, according to them, in the days of Adam Arishon, over 5,000 years old. So that's what Noach was going to have a drink, but he overdid it. See, this is always a problem. How does one deal with tragedy? How does one deal with extreme tragedy? A lot of people after the war, after the Second World War, they went in guns and crazy. They saw the whole world was destroyed. Many people, they lost their mind. The whole world is destroyed. All of your relatives, everything, all the cities, everything is gone. A lot of people, mamish, went crazy. So how does a person deal with this? How does a person deal with tragedy or extreme tragedy? You have to be mechazek your amunah, and you have to relax a little bit. So the pasuk says you take a little drink, but it has to be the right degree. I remember I don't have too much connection with non-religious people, but once I remember in the summertime where I go on vacation, so the local real estate man was not religious. His mother died, so we put together a minyan. The religious put together a minyan. They buried her in the Jewish cemetery, and then we went back to the fellow's home. So the time we got back to his home, a half an hour, the guy was the son, was absolutely stone drunk. He was laying on bed. He was absolutely drunk. He knows he got to say Kaddish. That's one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, as far as he's concerned. Kaddish, Yizkei Yahrzeh. He couldn't say Kaddish. Couldn't do anything. Absolutely drunk. That's the way he dealt with the tragedy. That's ridiculous. So that's what Noach did. Mamish, he became drunk. He undressed himself. And Gansan, he lost his whole seichel. Should have had a little. It was proper that he should drink. But he shouldn't have anything good that you do. If you exaggerate it, it comes out to be ridiculous. The Gemara says, "Alosh lo nivra yain elo nachem boyasarel." The Rebbe Shlom taught the Marishan the secret how to make wine with alcoholic content that people should be able to relax if they're aggravated. They should relax a little bit. Some Rishonim say that you're not yet to the mitzvah of giving sudas avroah if you don't give wine. The din is at the first suda after the funeral. The oval is not supposed to eat osalach mishalol. Someone else has to give him the meal. So the Hagos Maimini quotes that some Rishonim say based on these Gemara in Sanhedrin Rafayin, but nivra yain ala lenachem boesavelim, that you have to serve wine by the Suda Savro. Some Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch quote, some are of the opinion that the Suda Savro has to be a Suda Chashuva, has to have bosa v'yayin, not just yain ala lenachem boesavelim. Suda Chashuva should be fleishig, but bosa v'yayin, that's a different concept. But others only emphasize the wine. They leave out the bosa. A lot of times I just give bagels, milchiks, cheese, whatever. No. So some Shem said it should be bas of yayin, still chashuva. But even if you don't hold from the bas of a yayin, but the yayin, that's in the Gemara. The pasuk tells us the reaction of the two children, the three children. He had three children. So one, Shem, Cham, and Yofes. So Cham was the rotten son. He cursed Cham. Or Kenan, Eved Avon Yeliach, Kenan was the son of Chom. So Chom was the rotten child. And then it says, Shem Vayefes were not on the same Madrega. The Pasuk says in the singular, Vayikach, Shem Vayefes asasim lo vayasim al shchem shneem vayelcho acharanis veris avim lo ro. Why does it say in the singular? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it was really Shem's idea. Vayikach Shem. Then Yefes saw that Chom was disrespectful to the father. And Shem thought that they should put some clothing on the father. They should put a sheet on top of the father. So he went along. Under the circumstances, he went along. So later on, when Noach realized what happened, when he woke up from his drunken state and he realized what happened, so he cursed Canaan and Ham, and he gave a blessing to Shem by Yefes, but he gave a different blessing. He said to Shem and to Yefes, said, Yafta lakim li Yefes. God should give beauty to Yefes. Why? Because Yefes was a makbid on etiquette. That's what Rav Soloveitchik once held at the Rosh. So he spoke about the difference between ethics and etiquette. Ethic means you do what's right, whether the people think it's right or the people don't, whether the people are nice or not nice. a human being always has to do what's ethical. A lot of times what's ethical is not politically correct. The right position is often not acceptable to the public. So it says, Vayikach Shem. Shem decided that under the circumstances you have to cover up the father. Yefes wasn't thinking, but then when Yefes saw that Shem is doing it, so etiquette required of him, etiquette means, Kifim Minig Amdinim. So if Shem is already doing something to cover up the father, so he's going to go along. So each one was blessed accordingly. So Yefes was blessed, Yafta Lekim Yefes. God should continue to give beauty to Yefes, because he's such a captain on etiquette, so he should always have beauty. Then the Gemara says, Yaf Yefusa Shal Yefes is always incorporated into the Jewish religion. We had, we take the Ksav Yevanis, and we write Sifrei Torah in Yevanis. And there are other things that we take from the from Chochmas Yovan. Beautiful things from Chochmas Yovan we can incorporate into observance of mitzvahs to make Hidur mitzvah. But the Yishkan be all a shame. The Hashras Hashchinim will only be by shame, because shame does what ethics requires, which a lot of times is what's not politically correct. Because of the fact that the shame was so careful, Rashi quotes the Medrash that Yefes, because he was makpid on Yaf Yefusa Shal Yefes on etiquette, so his he will be rewarded. That his descendants, it says in after Mochemes Gog and Magog, so there'll be dead bodies laying strewn all over the place in Eretz Yisrael after the Muhammad, dead bodies from the Umbas Ha'ilam. So the Pesukim say in Yecheskel that they'll all be buried. So they'll be given covered abrias, they'll be buried. Covered amazing, because he was makbed on under the circumstances on the etiquette over here, so he will be repaid. And shame was repaid that his descendants, namely the Jewish people, are the descendants of shame, were given the mitzvah of tzitzis. How does that correspond? How was that a zet tachazeh? They were given a beged shel tzitzis, and the Sivsa Chachamim quotes a kasha from the early Mefarshim. Sivsa Chacham is usually a likut of achrayim, and once in a while he has his own. So he quotes this kasha from the early Mefarshim that there's a gemara that says that the mitzvah of tzitzis was given to the Jewish people as a reward for the fact that Avraham Avinu said after Malchama between the five kings and the six kings. So it says, Avraham Avinu says he's not going to take nichut v'atzrech now. So because he refused to take even a chut, he said he doesn't want to take chut v'atzrech now, so that's why Zochu Bonav, his intense was zeche, to the chut shel tzitzis and to the tefillin, the ritzua shel tefillin. Because the tzrech now, if you ever saw a chalitza shoe, so the straps on the chalitza shoe are exactly identical to the straps of tefillin. And we have shoes, so we wear shoe strings. We don't wear shoe straps. But when you used to have shoe straps, the Friyadi Gadaris, and we still have it by the Chalitza shoe, so the shoe straps are exactly identical with the Ritzuah Shel Tefillin. They're even blackened on one side, and not blackened on the other side. It's not much the same as the Ritzuah Shel Tefillin. So because Avraham Avinu said he's not going to, he did a Kiddush Hashem, he's not going to accept Michut V'atzrach Na'al, so his descendants, Zochu Bonam, to the Chut Shel Tzitzis, and to the Ritzuah Shel Tefillin. So there the Midrashim say that we were zechet to the mitzvah tzitzis because of Avraham Avinu's Kiddush Hashem, we refused to take a chut, and here you say that we're zechet to the beged shel tzitzis because of the fact that we are descendants of shame. And shame, v'ikach shame as a simba. It's a simba, a beged, tachas beged. So the Sipsa Chachamim quotes the teretz from the earlier Mefarshim on the Rashi that there are no contradictions over here. The chut at tzitzis we were zechet because of the fact that Avraham Avinu said michut. And the beged shel tzitzis was zecha because of the fact that shame took a beged ikach as hasimla to cover over the father. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, what's the significance? What is just a beged tachas a beged? That's what it is. So he said there's a Magen Avraham who claims, based on Kisvi Harizal, that when a person wears tzitzis, he's supposed to have a resimos, he's supposed to see the tzitzis. So should the beged also be exposed? Should I wear the beged of the Arba Conference on top of my shirt, on top of my jacket, or not? So the Magen Avraham says, based on Kisvei Arizal, that the beged should be worn bitzina under your clothing, and the chutim should be exposed. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Nobody sees that you're wearing the beged. They see the tzitzis coming out, but they don't see the beged. So that means that you have to do the right thing, even if no one sees what you're doing. So that's why that mitzvah of beged, the beged shel tzitzis, was given to the descendants of Shem, because veikach Shem, because Shem did what was ethically required, even if it wasn't politically correct, even if it wasn't required based on etiquette. Yefes only did it, veikach Shem veYefes. Yefes only jumped on the bandwagon when he saw that Shem is doing this. Under the circumstances, he has to join along with Shem. Yefes did it because etiquette required that that's what should be done. And Shem did it because ethics required. After the Second World War, when they were judging all the Nazis, so they said they were given orders. They were given orders to kill all the Jews. They said, and you don't understand on your own that there's some higher order, that you're not allowed to listen to orders. In any army in the world, even the worst army in the world, you can be court-martialed if you listen to orders from your general, if the orders were utterly ridiculous. The general tells you to go murder someone in cold blood. So I'm going to murder the guy. The general told me this. Those were the orders. So they'll court-martial you. They'll put you in prison for doing that. Even if you're given instructions, there are certain things that everybody understands on your own that that's utterly ridiculous. That's Rabbi Avram Shapira, Zechon Gracha, just passed away. Rabbi Shishiva America, so he said, Siruf Kudat. That you're not allowed to listen to the government. If the government tells you to destroy the whole Gush Katif and blow up all the homes, you should understand on your own you're not allowed to listen. I think he was right. If they would have listened to him, they wouldn't have destroyed Gush Katif. The government would have not gone through with it. I don't see that the whole army would have collapsed, and I don't see that the whole country would have collapsed. Avraham Shapir lived in Eretz Yisrael long enough to understand all of their complicated politics better than all the Americans who just came there, who don't begin to understand anything that's going on. The Americans never understood the American politics. How can you understand Israeli politics? Avraham lived there forever. He knew all the politics. If they would have done Sirup Kuda, they probably would not have destroyed the whole Gush Katif. They wouldn't have been able to. The army was petrified. The army, the people in the army were very petrified. What's going to be? It's interesting, Rav Kook, Rav Rami Yitzchak Kook, was very in love with Eretz Yisrael, putting in mind. So they once asked him, where did he get this obsession? How did he become so obsessed with that Eretz Yisrael? So he says, from the time it started learning Chumash, Parshas Lech Lecha, from the Lech Lecha till the end of the whole Chumash, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. It's not his fault. In Cheder, when they taught him Lech Lecha, everything. So the truth of the matter is, even before Lech Lecha, the Torah is obsessed with Eretz Yisrael. At the end of Parshas Noach, we read about Terach Avri Avram. Terach was Yadua, and Ovid Avod Izareth. That's what he did for a living. They have over here shops where they sell Getchkes, just a few blocks away. It's Terach. So the matter says that Terach was a manufacturer of these, of Psilim. But the Pasuk says, the very end of Noach, they packed up his whole family, and they were on their way to move to Eretz Canaan. Vayikach Terach es Avram beno ves Lot ben Horam ben beno ves Sarai kalas Aishas Avram beno vayetzi yitom meyur kazdem lalechas arza kina'an vayavo ad Horam vayesh v'sham. Why did he decide to go to arza kina'an? So the Mefarsh Machumish give different suggestions. So some of them say that the air was polluted where he lived, and it was fresher air, and the living conditions were better. And others say, no, he was always in search of spirituality. He was a very spiritual man. It's very unfortunate. It was the wrong... he was an Abed Abed Zara. Like the Melech HaKuzarim had this recurrent dream. He kept on having the dream. The Kuzari is a historical novel that was written by Rabbi Yudah Halevi. But part of it is history. There was a whole community, the Kuzarim, who converted, they became Jewish. The whole Medina, and then the Rabbanim from Cordova, whatever, from Spain, they kept on sending Rabbanim to, and sending them letters, corresponding with them, sending Shluchim to guide them in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So Rabbi Yudah Halevi wrote a whole historical novel, how it possibly came about. So some part of it, I don't know whether this part is true, or this is part of the novel, so he wrote that the Melech HaKuzarim had a recurrent dream, that Kabanoscha Ritzuy Ava Masech Einem Ritzuyim. that you have spiritual, you're very spiritual, you're in search for spirituality, you're searching for God, but you're barking up the wrong tree. You should look into another religion. So after he had this dream a few times, so he asked, he decided he's going to ask the representatives of the two major religions of the world, Christianity and Islam, to give a presentation. He didn't think he's going to invite a Jew because Judaism was frowned upon. And then the last minute he changed his mind, okay, I'll invite a rabbi also. So then each one gave their presentation. He decided that Judaism is the true religion. And then he has the whole historical novel, the whole back and forth, the whole conversation. What did the Melech ask? And what did the Chavar answer? What did the rabbi answer? Back and forth. And he gives the whole presentation via questions and answers all about Judaism. So there are people who are searching for spirituality who are of the Avodah Zarah. That is a fact. So that's what some of them in Farsh Malchumish say. Terach was clearly an Avodah Zarah. We say it in Haggadah, Vayavad Ovehim Acherim. We say it in Haggadah. V'tchili Abda Avodah Zarah Ho Yaviseinu. When we refer to the Pasuk in Yeshua about Terach. But he was worshipping Avodah Zarah. Kavanasa Hashem Ritzui, Avon Mais V'lo Ho Yaviseinu. So in his search for spirituality, he knew that he has to go to Eretz Canaan. They all knew. Before Avraham Avinu came on the scene, before Kodesh Baruch Hu commands him, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha. Not only like Rav Kook said, from the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, before Lech Lecha, they all knew that Eretz Yisrael was the place of spirituality. According to the Gemara's tradition in Perek Chelek, in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, the Mabul never affected Eretz Yisrael. It was burning hot water, destroying the whole world, and all the animals, all the people, all the animals, everything was destroyed. And Eretz Yisrael, there were no walls, there were no fences. Eretz Yisrael, there was no hot water, nothing. And after the Mabul, when all the dead bodies were floating around, and all the water went down, and all the dead bodies were laying all over the place, so the Chazal say there were no dead bodies in Eretz Yisrael. There were cemeteries in Eretz Yisrael. But all of Chutz Loretz, they made Gzeret the Rabbono, Tumas Eretz Amen. Why? Because the Mesei Mabul are all over the place. We don't know where. So they made a dinner up on all of Chutz Loretz has Tumas Eretz Am. Eretz Yisrael Tahara Mikvah Seh Tahara. That's a Mishnah Mikvah. Eretz Yisrael Tahara Mikvah Seh Tahara. They never made Gzeret the Rabbon in Eretz Yisrael. There were no Mesei Mabul. It was Yodua all along from day number one. From Sheshes Mei Bereshis. From day number one it was Yodua. That Eretz Yisrael was the Eretz HaNevcheres. Something very special about Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a tradition, one who, based on Psukim and Tanakh, you see like that. One who goes to Eretz Yisrael is called, when the brothers of Yosef were shuttling back and forth between Egypt and Eretz Yisrael, so when they go to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayalu. When they go to Mitzrayim, so it says Vayerdu. So the Gemara says, you see from the Chumash that Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol Harotz, that Eretz Yisrael is higher elevation. And then it says, Vekamto V'yalisa Alamokam. If you have a shaila in the local bezin has a machlokes, the rivers come to Yerusha, go to Yerushalayim. So you see, Yerushalayim gavoyim mikol Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? Yerushalayim is the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. If you remember, Rashi says on Mazay Sabracha, Ubeng Seifob Shachen, Rashi quotes the Gemara that Ein Itim is 23 amas taller than Harabais, taller than Yerushalayim. And originally, David HaMelech thought to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim. He thought to build it in the highest location. Then the Rabbi Shalom told him no. The Navi told him no. Vink Seifab Shachain, a little lower down. It's better to build the Beis HaMikdash on the Hara Maria, on the Hara Bais. Don't build it on Ein Itim. So Ein Itim is higher. The Gemara says Ein Itim is 23 amos high. So how does the Gemara make his statement? Chassam Sofer asked this question. How does the Gemara make his statement that Yerushalayim Gevayim Mikol Eretz Yisrael? How does the Gemara make his statement? Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mikol Arotzes. The Swiss Alps are not higher elevation above sea level than Eretz Yisrael. Of course it is. The high mountains are higher than Eretz Yisrael. There are mountainous areas in the rest of the world which are higher than Ein Itim, higher than Hara Maria. What does it mean? So the Baal HaMoor writes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, what the Gemara means is when the Ribbono Shel Olam first created the world and he started the whole globe rolling on its axis, so what was on top? What was on top? So yes, can anybody say? The North Pole was on top. You can hold the South Pole on top also. That by convention, we always put the North Pole on top. You can put whatever you want on top. So that's what the Chazal say. When the Ribbono Shel Olam started all of time ticking, everything began by Yerah, okay, Yom Echad, Eretz Yisrael with Beis HaMikdash was on top. I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So the Ribbono Shel Olam could have put Scranton on top. in the beginning. What did he put on top? So the Chazal have a tradition based on the Pesukim. Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mekol Ha'arot. Eretz Yisrael was on top in the very beginning, day number one. And Yerushalayim is on top of Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean it's the highest elevation above sea level. Highest elevation in Eretz Yisrael is Ein Itim. And the highest elevation in the world is the Swiss Alps, some other place. Doesn't mean the highest elevation. It means when the Ribbono Shel Olam began the Bria, so Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim were on top. L'may Nafkemina, what's the significance of what was on top? Kovet. So the Baal HaMor has a long arichas, and Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof and Mebe says no. Chapsa Nafkemina for the issue of the international dateline. As you keep on going further to the east, so the days begin earlier because the sun sets earlier. As you go, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's Shabbos 7 hours earlier. Now it's a quarter to seven there. By us, it's a quarter to 12. There, it's a quarter to seven in the evening because they're 7 hours ahead. California is 3 hours behind. So California is 10 hours after Yerushalayim. If you keep on going west, 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 so it's going to keep on getting later, later, later. No, you're going to have to reach a point where you have to have some international dateline somewhere where you stay. We're not going, not going to be that Shabbos is going to begin an hour later. We're going to say, no, Shabbos already began a long time ago, because as you keep on going east, Shabbos keeps on beginning earlier, earlier, earlier. Keep on going where Shabbos begins later, later, later. So it has to be some point. So where is the point? So we assume it's somewhere in the Pacific. Okay, it can't be where people live, or we would have known already where it is. So somewhere in the Pacific where no one has been living for many years. So where is it? So that's a whole hullabaloo, a whole big discussion. So the nations of the world got together years ago, and they decided to draw an arbitrary line. International dateline doesn't correspond to anything. So the Baal HaMor says, there's a Gemara. And all the Rishonim who discussed the topic of the international dateline, they all say the same as the Baal HaMor. They all quote the same Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, and that's what the Chazon Ish. And the whole issue became relevant. When the Jews were running away from the Nazis in the middle of the Second World War, so there was a half a year that they were in Japan, and then they ran to, then they went, then everybody left Japan. The Japanese got there, they didn't want to have the Jews there. So that half a year that they were in Japan, so that was the Shiloh. Where is the dateline? Is it to the west of Japan? Or is it to the east of Japan? Are they the first place in the world? Is it to the east of Japan? Japan is the first place in the world to have Shabbos before Eretz Yisrael? Or is the dateline to the west of Japan the last place in the world to have Shabbos? So that was the big tumult at that time. So at that time, the Chazon Ish wrote his whole kuntres, Yud-Chev Shoes. He just writes at the beginning, he says, all the Rishonim who discuss the topic all say the same thing. They all say the Baal HaMor, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof, he quotes seven Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and a few others. They all say the same shot. An international dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, and it cuts through Korea, it cuts through Australia, and then he has to figure out how to deal with that. If it cuts through streets, on one side of the street is Friday, the other side of the street is Shabbos. So he has to work on that. How do you deal with the details? But what's the whole idea? Why should it cut through? What's the yichus of Korea? Why should Korea be the miyuchas dikkan? Says, not Korea is the miyuchas dikkan country. Yerushalayim is the yichus. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in Sheishes Mei Bereishes, Eretz Yisrael was Gevoya Mikol HaRatzis, and Yerushalayim is Gevoya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is on top. So if that's on top and the earth is a globe, so you have two hemispheres, and each hemisphere has 180 degrees. So 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim was Vahiyera Vayvekah. That's when it was Tzeisat Kochavim. All of time began 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim was on top, center, on top of the upper hemisphere. So all of Zman began, Vahiyera Vayvekah began in Korea. It's not the Yichus of Korea, it's the Yichus of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim were wondering why it should be so. Why should that be so? So they didn't know the map of the world. So the Baal HaMor writes, and others write like that, because on the lower hemisphere, nobody lives there. It's all water. That's us. There's nobody there. It's all water. So they didn't know. They didn't know. They were guessing. So the Chazon Ish already lived after Columbus discovered America. Everybody knew that there are people living on the other hemisphere. So he gives a different explanation why the upper hemisphere ends 6 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. We're 7 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. So the Rishonim thought that there's nothing there. They thought everything there is water. So they say the reason why Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, because that's the center of the yishuv of mankind. Nobody lives on the other side. So that is incorrect. That they guessed wrong. That's not the reason why. The reason why is because the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with Yerushalayim in the middle. That's all. Yerushalayim in the middle of the upper hemisphere. So some Chacham writes about the Chazon Ish The Chazon Ish had such respect for the Rishonim, he was defending a position that was absolutely proven to be incorrect, because he had respect for the Rishonim, even though he knew they were wrong. What do you mean? The Gemara says this. The Gemara says the dateline is 6 hours to the east. The Gemara has dinim based on that. The dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The Rishonim were guessing why, so they guessed wrong. So that doesn't say in the Gemara. They were guessing why, so they said probably because there's only water on the other side. Yerushalayim is the middle of the issue. So that's been established that that's not correct. Now we know that there are people living in America, South America, Canada, Alaska. There's a whole Western Hemisphere. There's one hemisphere where Yerushalayim is the center. And there's another hemisphere over here where Wyoming is the center, California. I don't know what's in the center over here. There's California, whatever is over there. Alaska is in the center of that hemisphere. Alaska, yeah. Alaska is in the center there. So the explanation that the Rishonim were guessing is incorrect, but the Pshat and the Gemara remains the same. It's not that the Chazon Ish was defending a position that was not true. The Gemara says that this is the story. So this is the significance, the special status of Eretz Yisrael was not only starting from Parshas Lech Lecha, according to our tradition, was from day number one, when the Baruch Shalom began the whole Bria. He started everything with Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim on top. We read in the end of Parshas Noach about the Dor HaFloga, that the people in Babel wanted to build a Migdol Barosha Bashamayim. So it sounds like they were sinning and they were punished. So Rashi says from the Medrash, why does it say that a Dayan should never judge the case until he looks, till he sees what it is mamish. I remember once I was had jury duty, so I had to go in court. So they were discussing some kind of a case. I forgot already what it was. So they said the whole drug deal. So they said the whole incident happened in Inwood, just a few blocks over here. And they say what the address of the building is. So there's a guy there on the jury. He lives right near me. He lives 56 Bennett. I live 24 Bennett. So he blurts out in the middle, oh, I know the building, because he's a real estate agent. I know the building. So the judge says, you're puzzled to participate in the case, because he knows the building. I would have thought that they would take the whole jury down to the building. We should all see the building to see if the story is feasible. Is it possible that he shot him from upstairs? Maybe there's no way to shoot from upstairs. Show us the building, we'll see where the Shaykh. The Tanaim would say, all the judges have to go to the building to see. And here in the Goyish court, they parceled him up. When he said, oh, I know the building, I was there many times. So he's not allowed to participate in the case. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, V'ayered Hashem liras ha-samigdol shabonah b'nei ha-adam mikan, that the judge is not allowed to judge a case until he sees mamish, whatever. He says he shot him with the gun. So Bezim will say, show me the gun. Maybe it's a toy gun. Maybe it's a water gun. Is it shaykh that bullet came from this gun? Let's investigate. Is it shaykh that bullet can kill someone? Maybe the whole thing is a toy. Maybe a guy got a heart attack. Maybe his death is not attributed to the bullet. You say, he threw a stone at him. Let me see how big the stone was. This little stone killed him. That's the chajok. The Gemara says, you have to have an omid, lemisa. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, you have to have an omid to see. There's not to look at it, to see and to assess. There's an expert with a shaykh that this could have happened. So Rashi learns a simple story of the Dor HaFloga was that they were sinning, and God was punishing them. And he punished them, and he scattered them all about. Instead of punishing them by killing them for the terrible aver that they did, he scattered them all about, because he had already promised Noach that he's not going to destroy the world again. So what was the terrible aver that they wanted to do? Chumash doesn't say what they wanted to do. They were just made the United Nations. So Saf Achaz Adwar Macharim, they all got together. What was the Aveira? The Rashi says, no, Rashi quotes the Medrash, they wanted to build a Migdal, Rosh HaBashamayim, to rebel against heaven. Avodah Zarah. They wanted to kick God out, and they wanted to take over the running of the world. It's a wild notion, Mishugoyim. Okay. So at least Rashi quotes a Pshat. The Ran has a long drasha, the drasha Saran. He thinks that it doesn't necessarily mean that they were sinning by building the Migdal. The Baruch Shalom just didn't want the idea of the United Nations. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that kinus letzadikim is tov lahem etov la'olam, and kinus l'rishayim is ra lahem ve'ra la'olam. It's bad for them, and it's bad for the whole world. So the Baruch Shalom didn't want that all of mankind should be united. Right now, they were takat tzadikim. They wanted just to have the United Nations for wonderful purposes, but the Baruch Shalom didn't trust them. He was afraid that maybe in the future, they'll decide to prohibit monotheism, and then Avraham Avinu won't have a place to live. So the Baruch Shalom didn't punish them. They didn't do any Averi yet. They just wanted to have the United Nations. So the Baruch Shalom saw to it that the plan of United Nations will fall apart. Like today, we have United Nations. It doesn't really function too well. If it would function well, one fine day they may decide that Christianity is the official religion that has to be enforced in the whole world, and they send out troops. The United Nations will send out troops to enforce Christianity. So Baruch Hashem, the United Nations doesn't function so well. So they hardly ever get anything done. But that's because of the Dor HaFloga. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is afraid that if all of mankind will be united, it can come out of a big kilkul. So Rebbeinu Shlomo, Misham Hafitzam Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlomo scattered everyone. It wasn't the punishment, according to the Ran, it wasn't a punishment for a sin that they had done. It was just a preventative measure that this United Nations shouldn't bring about any kilkul. One of the results of this Misham Hafitzam Hashem was the Shivim Loshon that we have. Misham Balal Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'aretz. He says that everyone, originally when they started, they all spoke Sof Ha'achas Edvarim Achorim. They all spoke the same language. And then the Rebbeinu Shlom caused that there should be many, many languages, and each one didn't understand the language of the other one. So this is the origin of the Shivim Loshon. In the beginning of the Reform movement, one of the first takonas that they did, L'shem Shamayim, they really did L'shem Shamayim. It's interesting when you read the history. It's just like the modern Orthodox today. Just like certain groups. They don't consult the big rabbi. They don't have to. There's no shaila. It says in Shulchan Aruch, we can do on our own. So the original Reform, they said it says in the people don't know Hebrew. So when they're davening, they don't understand what they're davening about. So the Gemara says that Tfilas HaTzibur, Ein HaTzibur Moyes, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moyes B'Tfilas HaTzibur, God will never reject the prayer of the Tzibur. So if you daven Tzibur, you can even daven Baramis. If you daven Bechidus, you shouldn't daven B'Loshon Aramis. Ein Malach HaShoas Makirim B'Loshon Aramis. When a person davens Bechidus, his prayers don't go directly to the Kisei HaKavod. He offers a prayer and the Malachim have to deliver the prayers to the Baruch. Malachim don't understand Loshon Aramis, so they're not going to deliver the prayer. So Tosis asked the Kash, how can it be the Malachim know all the languages in the world, they just don't understand Loshon Aramis? Can't put two and two together and figure out the Aramis. If you know Hebrew, you know Greek, you know Latin, you know Spanish, you know, you'll figure out what Oris is. You figure out what all the words are. You know what everything is. How can it be they don't? So Tosis doesn't give a reasonable answer. So the Ravid and the Tmim Deim gives an answer, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Loshon Aramis does mean they don't understand Aramis. Loshon Aramis means the vernacular. They understand all the languages. But if the guy is not, he doesn't even bother himself to speak in a fancy language. See, by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they always used to have their prayers in Latin. Hocus Pocus used to be in Latin. Hocus Pocus was making fun of the Latin that they said. So now they switched it to English. So now they have, they print articles. Some of their balabatma are very upset. They never understood what the Latin meant, but they had a mystique to it. Now that they pray in English, they've lost the whole geschmack. So they don't want to pray in English. They'd rather not pray in English. They'd rather not understand what they're saying. They think that religion has to be something different. So it's interesting that hargosha that some of these Ovdei Avodah Zarah have. So the Ravid writes such a lashon. He says, not there's something specific about Loshon Aramis. The Malachi Asheris understand all the languages. Aramis means the vernacular in Bovel, Bizman HaGemara. If the person doesn't bother to offer a prayer in a fancy language, Loshon HaKodesh is the holy language. If he doesn't bother, just offers a prayer in the vernacular, so the Malachim think that that's disrespectful, so they won't present the prayers to HaKodesh Baruch. If the whole Tzibur davens in the vernacular, so the prayers go directly to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But if it's a Yachid who's davening, the Malachim have to present it. So if you daven a vernacular, they frown upon such a prayer, they don't present it. So it wouldn't only be Loshon Aramis, let's say today, today, Lashon Aramis is not the vernacular. English is the vernacular. In Germany, when they started the Reform movement, in Germany, German was the vernacular. So today, if you daven b'Lashon Aramis, you say Kaddish. You can't say Kaddish b'Yechidus. But if you say Kaddish, Kaddish is a fancy language already. It's not like saying in English. Anyway, so that's what happened in the beginning of the Reform movement. They decided they're going to daven in shul, they're going to say the prayers in English. They don't have to consult any rabbanim, because that's what it says in Shulchanot. That's what it says in the Gemara. So all the Gedolim were opposed. Rabbi Kivega, Nachsam Sefer, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Magalis, they were all opposed. Then they had the other institution that they had. They started off by enhancing the prayer service by having a non-Jew play the organ on Shabbos. That's a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that. Amir l'Nachri is mutter to be mashmiya kol. It's a shvuz to shvuz, but Magen Mitzvah. The Magen Avraham calls it shvuz or advanced. They ask a non-Jew to play musical instruments on the Sheva Brachas on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham calls those a whole mutter. There are those who disagree, but in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham says that it's mutter. It's a shvuz to shvuz, but Magen Mitzvah, to enhance the Sheva Brachas. So they thought to enhance the prayer service, they had originally a non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue. It was a shvuz to shvuz, Magen Mitzvah. On the books it says mutter, but again, they didn't consult the rabbi. So that was their downfall. If you don't consult the Rabbanim, so there may be some other reasons why not to institute certain things. So at that time, all the Rabbanim were very opposed to this institution of davening in German, davening in the vernacular, even B'tzibur, not only B'yochid, and they gave various reasons. Some of them said, you don't give the people any incentive at all to learn Hebrew. If the davening will be in Hebrew, and they know they don't understand Hebrew, so at least there'll be an incentive. They're going to one day be interested in understanding Hebrew to know what they're davening about. But if you're going to daven in German, everything is going to be in German. So there's no incentive to read Hebrew. They gave different reasons why. So Rav Ephraim Zalman Magalis at that time wrote a whole tshuva that's printed. So he gave a new insight, a very original insight, very questionable. He says, how do you know that the halacha recognizes German as a spoken language? Maybe it's just gibberish. Ba 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 ba. A guy's going to daven ba 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 ba. It's not a tefillah. You have to daven in a language. So maybe, he thinks, maybe the halacha only recognizes the shivim loshen that were at the days of Migdal Bavel. And he says he thinks that German was not one of the initial shivim loshen. He thinks it's a concoction, it's a combination of a word from one language and a word from another language. He says he's not convinced that the halacha recognizes any of these modern languages. He thinks maybe the halacha only recognizes Lashna Kodesh, that's a language, a spoken language, and the other, the Shivim Lashon, in the days of Migdal Bavel. That's a very big chiddush. I mean, if I don't know how to say Kriya Shema, the Mishnah says, the Halacha says, if you don't know how to say Kriya Shema in the original, so if you say in translation, you Yotze. So you have to say in what in the Shivim Lashon? It can't be Yotze in English. How can that be? And you take a neder, or Yeshua has to be Levate Bisvasam, you have to speak in a language. So if you take a neder Yeshua in English, it's not binding. Because in English is a cholent. It's a concoction of many different languages. English, for sure, is not one of the original Shivim Lashon, so it doesn't count. That's quite a fantastic chiddush. Very questionable whether that point is accepted or not. Probably not accepted. Pashtus is not accepted. You have in Parshas Noach, Shafech tam ha'odam ba'odam damo yishafech. So the Gemara has the simple pshat is Shafech tam ha'odam, one who kills a human being, ba'odam damo yishafech, he deserves Mises Bezin. Jewish Bezin, Goyish Bezin. The Goyish Bezin will give, it's B'nei Noach, so the Goyish court will give the death penalty. Shafech tam ha'odam kama, ba'odam damo yishafech, he deserves Mises Bezin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has an additional level of interpretation. Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam, one who kills an uber, who's inside a woman, ha'adam ba'adam, kama, dama yishafech, one who kills an uber, benoi achai ba'la uber. So how did the Chazal know that that doesn't apply to Yisrael? The Mishnah says in Nida, that a ha'atinek ben yamechot, ha'harga neragolav, a baby is born, and you kill a baby, he's only one day old, so you chai misa. But if you kill an uber, if you perform an abortion, you're not chayv misa. Why? How did the Tanoim know that you're not chayv misa? Here they have a pasuk in Parshas Noach. What the pasuk in Parshas Noach only applies to the non-Jews, doesn't apply to the Jews. What about the other pasuk? Achaz dimchem l'nafshe sechem nedrish, that you're not allowed to commit suicide. So that applies to the Jews also. So why should you assume that dam ha'adam ba'adam doesn't apply to the Jews? It should also apply to the Jews. So this Dechemed has a very fascinating sefer. Dechemed was a Sephardi who was born in Eretz Yisrael. This Dechemed is an encyclopedia of halachic topics. It's approximately alphabetically arranged. Not exactly alphabetically. Aleph base is in order, but within every letter it's not in order. So he starts with Eretz Yisrael. Aleph starts with Eretz Yisrael. There are other things that belong before Eretz, but he was from Eretz Yisrael, so he started with Eretz Yisrael. So he was a Sephardi, and he was born in Eretz Yisrael, and he took the Rabbanus in the middle of Russia, and he didn't know what was going on there. They had Minhagim he never heard of. So he had to correspond with all the Rabbanim in the world to find out, are they doing right, are they doing wrong? So he lived in a generation, he used to correspond with the Nitziv, with Rav Shlomo Lavilna, with Rav Tzala Vilna, the end of the 1800s, the late 1800s. So he has letters there, very valuable letters of his correspondence with all the Rabbanim. The correspondence began because he was writing to them about all the menhagim in his community. He didn't know whether they had a leg to stand on or not. And then he got to write the Torah and Halacha and everything. So he has there one of the letters he has from Rav Shlomo Lavilna. He has a lot of letters from Rav Shlomo Lavilna from the Nitziv that don't appear anywhere else. That's the only place. So he has a letter there from Rav Shlomo Lavilna to address this kasha. So he says, no, we have a parsha in Mishpatim where it talks about the naval orders. So it says that the one who caused the Uber to die has to pay the Mevel Otis. If the woman is not killed, if the woman dies, then you say, come live with the rabbi, then you don't pay. But in lo yasin, if the woman doesn't die, only the fetus died, then you have to pay. So Rav Shlomo Lavilna said, what's the difference whether the woman died or the woman doesn't die? If you chay misa, if you're killing the Uber, so it's the same common levy the rabbi. So you see from the Chumash that by Jews, if you kill an Uber, there's no chayiv misa. By a Nachri, if you kill an Uber, there is a chayiv misa. That's pasuk shefech tam ha'adam ba'adam. But by a Jew, if there would have been a chayiv misa, it should always be covered with common levy the rabbi. So you see that there's no chayiv misa. So that's the shayla, there's no chayiv misa. So do we assume it's muta? By Nachrim, it's chayiv nisa. Not only is it an aver, it's chayiv nisa. By Jews, it's mutter to kill an Uber. Abortion is mutter for the Jews and prohibited to the non-Jews. So there is a taisvus in Nida where taisvus writes a lashon, to kill an Uber is mutter. So Moshe Feinstein says, obviously it's a misprint in taisvus. The others say, it's not a misprint. Taisvus didn't mean mutter. They meant you're not chayiv nisa. Taisvus wasn't so medayik. Of course it's awesome. The mother just says, you're allowed to kill an Uber if the mother's life is in danger. Mother's life is not in danger, you're not allowed to kill an Uber. So we usually assume, there are three opinions in Achrayim, the Stechemen has a long essay on this. There are three opinions regarding abortion. Some say abortion is a mutter, no iser at all. Some say it's an iser derabbanan, some say it's an iser derais. The Pashto says that it's certainly osa, that's out of the question. Rabbi Yankov Emden has a tshuva that it's mutter. So we don't accept many things Rabbi Yankov Emden said. He had a lot of wild ideas. Rabbi Yonis and Abish, he's the one who attacked Rabbi Yonis and Abish. He thought Rabbi Yonis and Abish was an apikoris and he riled everybody up. Rabbi Yonis and Abish was like Moshe Rabbeinu in his generation. He could put Rabbi Yonis and Abish into his little pinky. How do we compare to him? Rabbi Yonis and Abish doesn't have any tshuvas that they disagree. There are no offering gemaras against Rabbi Yonis and Abish. Anyway, so Rabbi Yonis and Abish, he's the one who says muta, that's not accepted. And then the opinion that it's only the Rabbon is also not accepted. The generally accepted opinion is, based on a Gemara, based on a Taisus, and that abortion is an Issa derais. The only deal in Achrayim is what's the nature of the Issa, what's the seriousness of the Issa. Is it a form of an Issa Ritzicha, but there's no Einish Miso, or is it only an Issa Chavola? And the difference will be, would you only permit an abortion if the mother's life is in danger? Would you even permit an abortion if the mother's health is at risk? What if it's healthier for the mother? Mother's going to have a nervous breakdown if she goes through with this pregnancy. Or it's going to weaken her very much. She's going to be very weak physically. Is that sufficient cause to permit you to do an abortion? So if the whole Isser of abortion is like an Isser of Chavola, you're cutting off a finger. So if you have six fingers, you're allowed to cut off the extra finger. I want to look normal like everybody else. If I have a finger that's causing me problems, So I cut off the finger, I live with four fingers instead of five. Well, why should I get sick? Why should I suffer if the finger is causing trouble? So if it's only an iser of chavolah to perform an abortion, so then if it's recommended for the health of the mother, would be mutter. But if you say it's an iser itzicha, so then the only hetter would be if the mother's life is in danger, so then the uber is considered a roided. So this is the famous topic that's still under debate. This is the Tzitz Eliezer just passed away last year. He has a famous tshuva. He didn't discover America. Tzitz Eliezer is not the first one who came up with this. There was a for years when the Rabbanim in Eastern Europe would retire, so they would move to Yerushalayim and they would spend their last years there. So one of the Rabbanim who retired in Yerushalayim wrote a tshuva sefer called Teres Chesed. Shalosh Tshuvos Teres Chesed. When he retired in Yerushalayim, he joined the Bezna of the Eidah Haredis, the Ashkenazim. He was there for many years. So he has this main tshuva. He brings out all those Yerushalayim who hold that abortion is an Issa Chavol. And we know there are others that disagree. They hold that abortion is an Issa Ritzicha. Rav Moshe took the very strict opinion. Moshe held that abortion is an Issa Ritzicha, and you only matter abortion if it's a vadai pikoch nefesh for the mother. If it's only a suffix, not, it has to be karav levadai pikoch nefesh for the mother. Rav Moshe is machra even within the first 40 days of the pregnancy. Others say no, even if you hold like that. So this is after mem yom, before mem yom, the Gemara says maya di alma. So Moshe doesn't follow that. He gives a whole very, very machma on this topic. He holds even within the first 40 days also, you have to be choshish for the Rambam's opinion that it's an iser ritzich, and the only heter to perform the abortion is if there's a kemata vadai sakpana for the woman. A rabbi calls me up on Chalamoy, urgent shayla. What's the urgent shayla? He says he's embarrassed to tell me the shayla, but what can he do? He says there's a boy from his shul who's engaged to get married. So he came over to the rabbi and he tells him he was with his fiancée and he thinks she may be pregnant. Has he touched the girl? What do you mean? Yeshiva guy. No, I don't think it's from my yeshiva. He thinks the girl may be pregnant and the wedding date is scheduled for whatever, February. So what is he going to do? Should he move up the wedding date? So that the in-laws are going to, I don't know why. He's gonna have a hard time explaining why he wants to move up the wedding day. Or should he do an abortion? No. Unfortunately, we have these kind of shams. Yeah. Under the circumstances that the fellow is obviously not following Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion, putting it mildly, he's not from the Hasidim Anshei Maaseh. So under the circumstances, we would recommend that he should be makel on this issur as well. There's a famous topic that's raised by the Minchas Chinuch. We'll close with this. Achaz dimchel nafshesech medrash, the prohibition of suicide. So the Minchas Chinuch has a chiddush. He says, if I murder someone else, that's an issur ritzicha. That carries with it a penalty, a death penalty. And then there's a rule of kam lebi derabine. In mosan yiv and asat and nevish, tafas nevish, you don't pay the mevelonis. What if a person commits suicide? Is that also an issur ritzicha for which he's chayiv misa, except that he's dead? So it's not shayach. How do you say no? It is achas dimchel nashasech me'edrosh, so the expression edrosh, also edrosh usually implies misa v'dei shamayim. Also, the guy's dead already. What shayach misa v'dei shamayim? But maybe it's not so. That's where the Minchas Chinuch is mechadish. He thinks that suicide is not ritzicha is when you kill someone else. Suicide is a lesser iser, and it's only misa b'dei shamayim. And he says he thinks la'alacha there wouldn't be a din of kam lebi derabbanei. That's a guy in the process of committing suicide makes a hezek to someone else's property. So he thinks that you wouldn't say kam lebi derabbanei, and you would be able to collect from the yorshim. So Rabbi David Horowitz, one of the rabbis in yeshiva, wrote a whole Dvar Torah in the Beis Yitzchak many years ago. He didn't agree. Okay, quoted very strong sources of those of Midrashim, Mekores, disagree. But this Minchas Chinuch is what to be considered. There are many poskim who do consider the Minchas Chinuch. That's why to allow one to kill someone else is only if the fellow is a reidiv. But to allow one to commit suicide, you have, the Medrash says, Yochel Kishol, Shaul HaMelech, committed suicide. Because he was afraid that the Plishtim were going to torture him to death. So the question is, did he do right or did he do wrong? So the Beis Yosef is in Kuftun Zayin in Yeredeya, the Simon about Yorik Vayavah. The Beis Yosef quotes the Midrashim. All the Midrashim say the same thing. Ach is Dimchal and Ach is Sech Medrash, Ach is a Miut. Ach for Ach is a Miut. So the Midrashim all say, Ach, Yochel Kishol, maybe it's even forbidden to commit suicide if the person wants to do it to spare himself pain. Ach, that under such circumstances it is permissible. So the Beis Yosef quotes that la'alocha. So obviously he's assuming that suicide is a lesser isur. It's not the same isur as Ritzicha. It's a lesser isur. So that's a shaila whether we paskin like that, Beis Yosef. Should we paskin like the Beis Yosef? So that's a machlek is the later paskin. Somehow you should not paskin like that, Beis Yosef. Okay, fine. Everyone is invited to spend Shabbos in Yeshiva. I think I'm supposed to give Parshas HaShavua. I guess I'll have to find something new.